Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone today in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ and children of God as He Himself calls us in His fellowship of believers within the church. So together today we can shake off all the other stuff that's been on our minds and weighed us down during the week. And remember that the Lord Jesus Himself promises to be with all of us where two or three are gathered in My name. He says, there I am in the midst of them. So we're blessed to be together with our Lord today. And we have a great service planned for us to celebrate our Lord and what He's accomplished for us. We'll be worshiping this morning to Divine Service Setting 3, and we welcome those who are tuned in on the radio on KSBK this morning. Thanks for joining us also for our service and tuning in. We wish you the Lord's blessings as you worship with us. Our opening hymn for this morning is hymn 424, O Christ, You Walked the Road, and we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able on the last verse of the hymn this morning. Let's sing.
Thank you.
begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave
me of my sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue with our intro this morning from Psalm 145. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. On your wondrous works, I will meditate, and I will declare your greatness. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, in the word of your apostles and prophets, you have proclaimed to us your saving will. Grant us faith to believe your promises, that we may receive eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the book of Exodus in the 19th chapter. The people of Israel set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Would you join us now in our responsive psalm from Psalm 100? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God.
It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Amen. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
Our epistle reading for this morning comes from the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more will we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able for our Alleluia and our reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: First Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." This is the gospel of the Lord. If you continue standing with us now as we confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we join together in singing our hymn of the day for today. That's hymn 571, "God Loved the World So That He Gave." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We often hear people say, in talking about the Scripture, especially the Old Testament, that they struggle to understand some portions of it. Asking questions about the Old Testament is normal for all of us. It's a lot like you feel sometimes reading the Old Testament like you do when you're reading the book of Revelation. Kind of saying, ooh, wonder what this one means. Most of us can draw conclusions from the Old Testament about who God is and what he tells us, about who we are. But we have a unique text this morning in our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 19. And what's going on there is important as it can help us understand not only how to understand that text, but also how to understand the Old Testament itself. So what's going on in Exodus 19 in our Old Testament reading that you heard read earlier? Well, God there is recalling the Exodus, the event where he saved his people Israel out of their bondage and slavery in Egypt and led them across the wilderness desert. He said in verse 4 of our Old Testament reading, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." And if we've read, as many of us have, the Old Testament account of Moses and the burning bush, remember that one? The plagues in Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the Passover right before that. If we've read those, then we're ready to understand what God is talking about in our Old Testament reading this morning, even if we remember those events from an old movie. Like, you know, Ben-Hur or something like this. That's still good. If we read the account, of course, we'll see more connections to what's going on, but the information that's given in those accounts, and even in some of those movies, is good. This morning, God's summarizing the mighty works which he did through Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, in order to show his glorious rescue of his people. And the image he uses in this summary that we just heard is that of an eagle. You kind of have to picture a big old eagle with its big old wings out there in your mind, swooping in and lifting up the people and bearing them, as he says, on its wings and then flying them out of there and to safety. You know, the United States of America uses an eagle as a symbol of itself. If you start looking, you'll see it and notice it all over the place. And it's true that for our ancestors and for us, that the freedom and safety of this great nation absolutely bore us all up on wings like eagles, and delivered us safety and opportunity for prosperity. It's a neat image that God chooses to describe his work of rescuing his people from Egypt. And on the holiday, the secular holiday of Father's Day, it's kind of neat too. On our refrigerator at my house, we have this little magnet, you know, with like a funny little saying on it. The magnet says, "If all else fails, call Dad." And I don't see that. When I see it, I think of my dad, who I'm blessed, you know, that he's here even this morning. But I think of him and also of my father-in-law, who have both swooped in many times like eagles, and saved both me and Patricia out of, you know, various quandaries and different things, you know, getting stuck in the snow on a mountain road where we shouldn't have been. But the latest one was my old fishing boat just completely dead in the water out of the middle of this lake. And it was my father-in-law who brought his boat, which runs, up to the lake and hooked up a rope and drug me and the boys to safety, which we appreciated very much. And we all know what this is like, I think. If we had a good father or a mother in this life, they probably got our distress call as well. But what I want to show you this morning is that all that's going on here in Exodus 19 is a beautiful prophecy and a picture of the way Jesus swooped in and saved us. And how even though it's in the Old Testament, it connects very closely to our lives today. He heard your cry for help too. And his love showed up. See, the account in Exodus is not just descriptive of some events, some antiquated events that happened a long time ago, but it's also descriptive of what's happened to us, of what's happening even right now today. Do you know how many years the Israelites were in bondage to the Egyptians in their slavery? 400 years of slavery. It's an interesting number, if you think about it, because it's the same number of years that show up between the last prophet who prophesies in Israel in the Old Testament and Christmas, the first one, when our Lord Jesus shows up. There's a time period of silence for Israel during that time. And it's not a coincidence at all that the numbers line up the way they do. Long time Israel was in bondage. A long time they went in silence before their Savior arrived, our Savior. And this is to reveal to us that our Lord Jesus is, as the scripture calls him, our salvation, our rescuer. So if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, we read this. Moses tells the people what's to come. God says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, he tells Moses, from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. The prophet like Moses that he was talking about in Deuteronomy 18 is certainly our Lord Jesus coming in after 400 years. Like Philip told Nathanael in John chapter 1 when he said, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. And the Apostle Peter, in the book of Acts, in the third chapter, Peter says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. He's talking very clearly in Acts chapter 3 about our Lord Jesus. There's another one. A most amazing one in Luke chapter 9. There, we're receiving the account of the transfiguration in the Gospel of Luke. And this is what it says in verse 30 and 31. And behold, two men were talking with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Now, this is the account, if you don't know, of when Jesus is up on the mountain and he's transfigured before Peter and they and we realize that Jesus is God in that moment. So there's two men that show up in that account, Moses and Elijah. But then verse 31 continues and says, who appeared in glory, Moses and Elijah, and spoke of his or Jesus's departure, which was about to be accomplished in Jerusalem. Now this text got me thinking. I was thinking, hold on. So it says that they spoke of his departure, which was about to be accomplished in Jerusalem. I'm thinking, what departure was accomplished in Jerusalem? I mean, if you're speaking of the ascension, that happened outside of Jerusalem. Also, the crucifixion happened outside the city. What's going on here? What is Luke trying to tell us in Luke chapter 9? It becomes clear when you look in the original language. In fact, it becomes starkingly clear what Luke is saying there. And not that that's a bad translation, like grammatically speaking, because it means the same thing, the word. But guess what word shows up there in the Greek? It reads like this. Here it is again. And behold, two men were talking with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. That's the Greek, his exodus, which he was going to accomplish. And now we can see that what Jesus accomplishes for us in his ministry and in his death and resurrection is in fact our exodus. Jesus swoops in on eagle's wings and bears us up, just like God told us in Exodus 19. He saves us by giving us his own righteousness, dying for us, giving his life in exchange for ours, and redeeming us unto salvation and pulling us out of our bondage. That's the whole point and the meaning of the Old Testament in Exodus 19. It's about Christ and how he's come in and fulfilled the first exodus. And that's how it connects to our lives right now, today, and even this morning. Jesus is the new Moses, but greater. That's what's going on in your Old Testaments. There's something taking place, something amazing, something great. But it's not an isolated event that has nothing to do with anything to come. It has everything to do with Christ. He's the key to understanding the scriptures, the Old Testament. And he brings us out of our clutches, of the clutches of our captors of sin and death. If you think about it, like the Exodus, you can really see a beautiful thing. That when you have a slave, I mean, you have to kind of picture it in your mind a bit. The Israelites, when they were enslaved in Egypt and they were serving under Pharaoh, I'm sure that those slaves, those Israelites, were able to do various things when they weren't building bricks or serving in servitude to Pharaoh the king. And they could probably make some choices. They could say, well, I'm going to stay up late tonight, maybe. I'll go to bed early tonight. Maybe I'll drink some water. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll go feed the animals now. Maybe I'll wait till later. There was all kinds of things that they could do also. Maybe I'll eat this. Maybe I won't eat this. Maybe I'll bathe now. Maybe I'll bathe later. But the interesting thing there is that it wouldn't really matter what one of those slaves in Egypt would choose to do. They could do and choose many things, but they couldn't ever access the ability to reach up to Pharaoh and free themselves. That ability was completely and totally outside of their grasp. No matter what they chose, no matter what they did or didn't do with their entire life and their entire existence, there was nothing they could do to free themselves from the bondages they were in. They were under Pharaoh as slaves, and that was that. This gives us a beautiful picture of sin and death and the way that it traps us. People go about their whole lives doing anything and everything they can do to ward off things like aging, getting older, anything they can do to stave off death, keep it farther and farther away. But we all know those things don't have the power to reach up and access that authority. It's bigger than us. And sin, try as we might, as Christians, knowing what the Bible tells us, as Christians, having it burned into our hearts and minds what's good and what's not, what we should spend our time doing and what we shouldn't spend our time doing. And all the choices that we make in regards to that, they don't seem to be able to stop us when temptation shows up in our hearts. Well, we recognize exactly what the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. These are authorities that we cannot either access or manipulate by our own powers, by our own choices. They're stronger than we are. You can wiggle, and I can wiggle my whole life. But we know what's coming. Consider that overwhelming resemblance between our situation in this world and Israel's situation in Egypt. It makes it pretty hard to miss the point of connection from the Old Testament to our lives today. The truth that it's showing us is simple, and we know it. We need a Savior. We need someone to fly in and save us. And we have a Savior. That's our Lord Jesus. And his cross and resurrection, that's exactly what the scripture's trying to show us from Exodus 19 all the way down to Jesus calling his disciples in our gospel reading in Matthew this morning. That's the message that he sends them out with, a message of our Exodus. Salvation by the gospel. Jesus, as the new Moses, but greater than Moses, snatching us out of what's held us captive our whole lives. Did you know Paul picks up on this too in 1 Corinthians 10? This is kind of cool. As he's talking about Israel and the Exodus, he says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea." That's the Red Sea as they crossed out of Egypt with Pharaoh's army chasing behind them. "And they were all baptized," he says, "into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." See, Paul lines these two things up by the Spirit and helps us see the connection. Baptized into Moses? That's seeing the reality of our baptism into Christ and our exodus taking place. We're not led by ourselves, but by our Lord each step of the way. The connections don't end either. Think of where Israel was headed when they crossed the Red Sea and were led into the wilderness. They were headed for the promised land, to Canaan, the place that God describes as a land flowing with milk and honey. It lied at the end of their desert journey. And for us, it's heaven. And we're in the wilderness now, being led by our Lord, having faith in him. It's an awesome comparison that helps us understand even how we feel, friends. Because we know, each of us, things can go good in life, and we rejoice when they do, but we still know that we're not home. Something just isn't quite right in this world. There's got to be more. There is more. Much, much more. Our Lord swoops in like an eagle and pulls us out of the bondage of sin and death. Now to those with faith that his cross and his resurrection was for them, sent out now like sheep among wolves, And they would need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves as they go into the world where everybody thinks they're a Pharaoh over their own life. And it makes the world a dangerous place in regards to faith. But Jesus has come. He's rescued us. Sin and death no longer have power over us in Christ. And that cosmic spiritual enemy that Paul told us about in that battle, look back on your baptism. Look behind you. It was chasing you, and he drowned it right there in your baptism. Just like he drowned the Egyptians, that army, in the Red Sea. Because connected to Jesus, your fate changes forever. Now when we think about death, we no longer fear, but put on the full armor of God, girding our hearts and minds with what his scripture says. And this is what his scripture says: whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. As the song says, our chains are gone. We've been set free. Our God, our Savior, has rescued me. He's brought to you your exodus in our Lord Jesus. And this morning I pray that you can see the gospel in Exodus 19, and that God will continue to lead you and me, knowing Christ and knowing that all things are fulfilled in him, to see him everywhere in your Old Testament. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we come to the point in our service where we have the opportunity to return a portion of the blessings that God has so graciously given to us in our times of tithes and offerings. As our offerings are collected and presented this morning, would you join us in singing hymn 862, Oh, Bless the House. Let's sing together. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, Lord, have mercy. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For glad obedience, that we who are treasured by God for Christ's sake may do all he has spoken. Let us pray to the Lord. For the spread of the gospel among all nations, for the labor of pastors, missionaries, and all who share in his word and his work within the church, and all the peoples that would praise him, for them, let us pray to the Lord. For fathers and sons of the church, that they would be perfectly united in faith, hope, and love after the example of Christ and his heavenly Father. Let us pray to the Lord. For President Joe Biden and all who make, execute, and judge our laws, that their eyes may be turned toward the Lord, and that they would receive wisdom and strength to faithfully carry out their duties. Let us pray to the Lord. For daily bread and wisdom as stewards of this earth, that God would bless us with the world's increase. Let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and afflicted, those that have requested our prayer, we name before you this morning, Lord, Earl Parch, Connie and Tom Poole, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, as they call a new pastor, Dave Johnson, Betty White, Barb Luco, Frankie Gray, Nathan Poole, Brooklyn Clasby, Carolyn Giri, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendon, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. That God, who is able to heal every disease and affliction, would deliver them according to his gracious will, let us pray to the Lord. For those who commune, that as the Lord welcomed Moses into his presence at Mount Sinai, he would also welcome us to receive Christ's body and blood for our forgiveness. Let us pray to the Lord. O blessed Lord, we pray for our church as we know you lead us and guide us by your own hand. Lord, we pray for our school. We pray for our upcoming voters meeting next Sunday, for the elections of the congregation and those that are placed in positions to serve. We pray that you would guide us by your hand as we go through that process. Lord, we give thanks for those who've served. Father, we lift up this week to you as our church hosts the Vacation Bible School. Lord, that your gospel of truth, the hope that comes from what you've done for us and what you will do, that you deliver that to your precious children. Because, Lord, we know that through Moses, you called the people to yourself. And from them, you delivered up your own Son to be our Savior. By his sufferings and death, he has redeemed us as sinners from our sins. By his resurrection, he has released us from the fear of death and the bonds of sin and death. Help us, Lord, to live as your people, doing the good works for which we were created, and praying with confidence the petitions and supplications of our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We wish blessings to those who have tuned in to our radio broadcast this morning. May the Lord bless you and continue with you throughout your week next week. And for those gathered in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn to page 9 in your bulletin and to please stand, if you're able, for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, we praise the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM. KSPK.